The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
What a day this is, the Feast of Pentecost. What a wonderful time of year, and has so much meaning to all of us. When we really stop and think about it, this holy day season pictures us. This holy day season pictures the first fruits. It pictures sons of God. That makes it very, very special, and that makes it very, very awesome, because it is a time for great joy and celebration. It is a time to realize the power and the authority that God has given to us as His people. And it is a time for us to come to understand how to utilize a very special treasure that God has provided for His people, the Church of God, today. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. In other words, within us, within our body. We're the earthen vessels it is talking about. That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So, brother, what we see here, this treasure within these earthen vessels is what? It is God in us. It is God within us. And what a treasure that really is when you really stop and think about it. And when you really stop and think about it in connection to this day, the Feast of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was poured out. You see, God gives us this treasure so that we will experience this excellency that is spoken of here in this verse, or this perfection, and to experience the glory and the power that is of God. And as it says, and it's not of us, it's of God. Go with me now to the book of Acts chapter 1 and verse 4. Acts chapter 1 and verse 4. And we read, "And being assembled together with them," Jesus is the one that is assembled there with them. This is what he's speaking about. "Jesus commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father." Isn't this what we're talking about? Of course it is. He said, go to Jerusalem and wait there for the promise of the Father, which said Jesus, "You have heard of me." Oh, he had told them about it before. But now he's giving them that direction. He's given them a time frame, as it were, of when this is going to happen. And this is that day. And what we see here is, he said, wait for the promise of the Father. And of course, one of those promises was the promise of the Holy Spirit that Jesus Christ had early spoke of to them. And we see that, not going to go there, but back in John chapter 14, when he said that he was going to send the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit. And so now here it is, there's a few days before, and he says, go in Jerusalem and wait there until it has come upon you on high. Brethren, it is by this same Holy Spirit of God that we receive God's divine nature. God in us, God within us, the Holy Spirit of God within us. And it is that same divine nature growing in us through the Holy Spirit that gives us the wisdom and gives us the heart and gives us the power, listen to this, to become the literal sons of God. That's why I made the statement. This day is about us, the first fruits, the Church of God, the sons of God. That's why this day is about us. Go with me to 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. "Whereby or thereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises." I would say so. "That by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is the world through lust." Please understand what this is saying is, we have, because we have God's Holy Spirit within us that was poured out in mass on the day, on the Feast of Pentecost, we have this nature of God within us. There are times whenever people will make statements, you know, they will say, we develop godly character. We're developing godly nature. Now I want us to go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. We're going to spend a lot of time here not so much reading. We are going to read some of the verses, but we're going to do a lot of the sermon out of this particular chapter. You may want to put a note there, a marker there. It is here where the Apostle Paul uses the phrase, led by the Spirit. That's what we want to focus on. We want to talk about led by the Spirit, because I have a question, and that question is, what does this phrase mean? What does it mean? Well, first of all, what we need to understand is that it is an important question. And the reason is because Romans 8, verse 14, says that those that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. This seems to infer, at least it infers to me, perhaps it will to you, that when someone is not being led by the Spirit of God, they are not the Son of God. Does that make sense to you? Romans 8 and verse 14, I kind of quoted it. We're going to read it. Romans 8, 14. For as many as are led, or it could be read and probably more properly, being led, because we're not fully there yet, but we're being led. For as many as are being led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now, I'm going to go out on a limb, perhaps, and make this statement here. It seems, it appears that from this verse that we are given a definition of sons of God. What is the Son of God? Those that are being led by the Spirit of God. And that all ties right back into this day, to the Feast of Pentecost. I know you and I have heard people speak and make and use the phrase being led by the Spirit of God. And when I've heard some people say that, it's as if they actually seem to know what they're talking about, and others, they didn't. So let me ask you a question. Do you assume, that when everyone who claims to be led by the Spirit of God is actually experiencing that leading? And the answer is, of course not. Of course not. Not everybody who's going to use this phrase. We know that. And how would I know that? Well, just for example, consider the different televangelists on television. That's not a criticism, that's a description. Look at the different messages. And I think we can quickly come to the conclusion that everybody who says they're led by the Spirit of God is not necessarily being led by the Spirit of God. Yet, more to the point of what we're talking about here today, how can you and I know that we are being led by the Spirit of God? Isn't that a more important question for us? And so today, on the anniversary of the birth of the Church of God and the outpouring of God's Holy Spirit, I'd like for us to consider some points to ponder on this important topic of being led by the Spirit of God. The Spirit that leads us, of course, is God's Holy Spirit. And that's a very important point. A lot of people, they gloss over that. They don't really see it. They don't really grasp it. They don't really understand it. They don't really think about it. But it is God's Holy Spirit. We know that this Spirit that is being talked about is not an angel-like being, or we also know that it is not a third member of the Godhead. But the Spirit that we speak of here is certainly divine. And the reason is because it is meaning that it is of God. Romans 8 ties the Spirit of God into the sons of God becoming, or you and I, the Church of God, those who are being led by the Spirit of God, becoming the sons of God. It's what it ties into. It's what it says. Romans 8 does that. It is the Spirit of God that begets us as sons of God. It's like we become embryos. We know what that is. We become as embryos in God's family after repentance and baptism and the laying on of hands, where we receive the Holy Spirit within us. The Holy Spirit dwelling in us is what makes it possible for us to belong to God and to walk in the Spirit rather than walk in our flesh or to walk in our way of life, but rather walking in a way of life of God. It's that Holy Spirit within us that does that. Romans 8 and verse 9. But you are not in the flesh. I'm in the flesh. I'm flesh. I'm still flesh and blood. I still have aches and pains. you are in the flesh. You have aches and pains. You have pleasure. You have these things. You understand what I'm talking about. So when it says, but you are not in the flesh, it's not meaning that we're now in the spirit body. No, it says that we're no longer walking in this flesh. That's what it's referring to. But you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now listen to this next part. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of him. We don't belong to him. When we say that we are being led by the Spirit, we are really saying that we're being led by God. And the reason is because God leads through His Spirit. I'd also like for us to emphasize this point that I made just a moment ago that some miss, and that is the Spirit of God is God's Spirit. It is holy. It is the Holy Spirit. Now, sometimes we get confused with this, and I say we get confused. I mean we as human beings, we get confused with this because we can look in the Bible and we can see there's a spirit in man. And we can see that there are these angelic beings, and we certainly understand from putting enough to scriptures that they were composed. They were made up of spirit. We're made up of flesh. They're made up of spirit. And so we get confused by this. It would be simpler for us, I'm not implying that we change the word, but I'm simply saying that it would be simpler for us that if we had some other word of that composition. We don't have a problem comparing God's Holy Spirit with us being flesh. It's when we start using the word spirit. What are we referring to? That is not holy in the same sense that God is composed of Holy Spirit. It is different. And that's an important point for us to understand. Do you understand what we're saying? Are you getting that? You're following this. God is composed of spirit that is Holy Spirit. Angelic beings are composed of spirit, and it's not in this sense Holy Spirit. Because there's a big difference here, and we need to get this because the point is, what was poured out upon the church of God and what is within us, we repent, we believe, we're baptized, we have hands laid on, and we receive the Spirit of God. That is Holy Spirit within us. It is not the same Spirit in the sense that is composed of these angelic beings, whether they be good or not good. There's the difference. And that's why the rub comes sometimes with reading it. We don't know what it's referring to. So that's why we want to take a look at this. This is a very important day to focus on this. I at least believe it is a very important point for us to see this. Now, another point I want to go on and see and say is that having the Spirit of God is what makes us holy also. You ever think about yourself as being holy? The Bible refers to us as holy in many different places. And if you're not thinking of yourself in that way, maybe you're short-sighting yourself. Because that's what the Bible refers to us, like I said, in several different places. We are holy simply because God has set us apart. God has separated us for His use. And when He's using it and He has put His Spirit within, that makes us holy. And we need to see that. I'd like for us to grasp it. Go to Romans chapter 15 and verse 16. Romans 15, verse 16. That I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. This is Paul speaking. You know, I'm going to just read the verse. Ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Being set apart by or through the Holy Spirit. In other words, they also were going to receive. They were being separated to be part of God. They too were going to be holy. Because they too were going to have the Holy Spirit within. And let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 11. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 11. And such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, meaning set apart. But you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. I'd like for us to take a look at some different aspects of being led by the Spirit. I want us to understand, first of all, I want us to see that the truth, the knowledge and the understanding of these holy, precious truths of God, and I'm going to put it all together as one word and say, the truth that we know. You know, all of that. The truth that we know also sets us apart. However, we also need to understand this, that simply knowing the doctrine, simply knowing the teachings, to know that Saturday is the Sabbath, do you think that's enough? No, you got to also be keeping the Sabbath holy. Knowing that we're to love our wives and not commit adultery, does that help us if we go out and commit adultery? No. I think you understand, you know, what we're talking about. I think we see this. So knowing, simply knowing the doctrine is not the same as being led by the Spirit of God. Knowing doctrine does not make us sons of God. That's just information. Wonderful information. And we need to have it, and we got to have it to know how to live and where to go to do, is this right or is this right? We have to have it. But just having the information does not make us sons of God. Also, knowing prophecy does not make us sons of God. Also, doing good deeds, attending church functions, knowing all of these things, paying tithes, all of these things can be a part of being led by the Spirit of God, yet by themselves, they provide no proof of us being sons of God. Or they were following God's lead. These deeds do not make us holy. So please understand, brethren, being led by the Spirit of God involves something more. And that something more is a spiritual component. God's Spirit is involved with our human spirit. Sometimes it's referred to as the Spirit in man. But what I want us to understand is God's Holy Spirit is involved with our human spirit. Being led by God's Spirit is really, therefore, a spiritual issue. This is what makes it difficult to measure, and this is what makes it difficult to define. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 27. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 27. The spirit of man is the candle or the light of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. Some translations rendered it better, I think, as the innermost being or the heart. This was within us. This was is within us. The Holy Spirit bears witness or record of our human spirit that we are the sons of God. We are God's heirs, and we will be glorified with Him. That's what it says. Let's go there. Romans 8, back to Romans 8. Told you to put a marker there. Romans 8, verse 13. For if we live after the flesh, we know what that talks about, we're doing our things as opposed to doing God's thing, our ways as opposed to God's ways. If we live after the flesh, you shall die. You go, well, wait a minute, I thought we were all going to die even if we are living by the godly ways. This is talking about the eternal death. This is more than just physical death. This is gone. You will die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify, do put to death the deeds of the body, we will live, or you will live. For as many as are led by the Son or the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself, this is the verse that we're really getting to. I read all the others to get to this. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. We can know that. You should know that you are a son of God. I want us to understand the context here of Romans chapter 8, because the context here shows us how important we are to God. It shows us how much He loves us, and it shows us how that there is no condemnation of those who walk in the Spirit. There's no criticism from God. God tells us His Spirit revives us and it relieves us of fear. Now, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but how many of us have fears? Do we understand that that's not of God? That's something else working. That's our human spirit working there. Because we have the Spirit of God, God removes that. He frees us from that bondage. God also tells us of His investment in us. This is all still part of the context here of Romans chapter 8. He tells us that He loves us, and He tells us that His positive intentions toward us will not be thwarted. Why? Because nothing can separate us from the love of God. Romans chapter 8, verse 38. So we know these things, but let's put them together in the context of being led by the Spirit of God and see it in the whole big light of what is being taught here. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We need to claim these verses. They belong to you and they belong to us as sons of God, as the people of God. Claim these verses. Instead of a spirit of fear and a spirit of bondage, God gives us a spirit of family relation. It's a family relationship. We are the sons of God. When you hear the word son, what do you think about? Mom, dad, grandparents, brothers, sisters, aunts and uncles. We think about family, right? I mean, I do. I think you do too. He didn't say, and we're going to be His, and think of some other term that's out there. We think of that. We hear the word son. What does that make you think about? It makes us think that it is a closeness, and it is such a closeness that we come to know God as our Father, as our Abba. Yeah, and if you want to go as so far as to say our Abba, our Father, our Daddy, a real close relationship, yes, we can claim that. We are the sons of God. I don't know what you called your father. I call my father Daddy. This eighth chapter of Romans, it contains so much information about the Spirit of God and what it means to be led by the Spirit of God. So I'd like for us to go on. We're going to see some more of this. When we are truly being led by the Spirit of God, we realize that the Holy Spirit will always agree with the Word of God. It is always the Spirit of truth. You see, the Holy Spirit leads us into a specific direction. It's not going to just lead you wherever you want to go. Well, okay, everybody grab hands and somebody's going to lead us somewhere. And we don't know where we're going to go. No. We know where we're going. Because God is doing the leading through the Holy Spirit. What do you think He's leading us? Toward the kingdom of God. It will always lead us into the way of wisdom and always lead us into all truth. Now please go to John chapter 16. And while you go into John chapter 16, I'm going to quote for you, I'm going to read for you Proverbs chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. It says, I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in right paths. You go back there and you see this is talking about the Spirit. It's talking about wisdom. This is talking about the Spirit of God doing these things. When you go, your steps shall not be straightened, and when you run, you shall not stumble. Now go to John chapter 16 and verse 13. John 16 verse 13. Howbeit when He, now I'm going to read the words He, we understand is more accurately would be it, but I get tongue-tied sometimes when I try and change them you know, in reading them that way. So I'll read them as to He. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into some truth. Is that what it said? All truth. So right off we understand. If we're looking at something and it's taking us in a direction that's not truth, what is leading us? Something other than the Holy Spirit of God. Do you understand? I mean, this is what this verse is saying. It's not just saying it, it's what it means. For He, talking about the Holy Spirit, shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. What is going to come of why are we here? You know, well, we're here to keep this holy day. Ultimately, why we are here? Because we want to be there in the kingdom of God. And so what He's going to show us, what the Holy Spirit is going to show us is things to come. What is it going to show us? The kingdom of God. As God leads us, we will often have to adjust our behavior to be in harmony with God. Or is that just me? And as the Spirit leads us, we will be aware that we are in a process of transformation. We're being changed. We're being changed to become totally like the Son of God, i.e., Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, our older brother. And we will know that we cannot remain as we are, because we also, being led by the Spirit of God, certainly will come to the knowledge and the understanding that if we do remain as we are not being led. In John chapter 6 and verse 63, God, through Jesus Christ, told His disciples that the words that Jesus spoke were both spirit and life. That's a very important verse. It's a very important statement. Because, brethren, you and I, as sons of God, we need the Word of God embedded within our very being if we are going to be led by the Spirit of God. How much prayer and Bible study do you do? I'm not asking for you to comment, but I'm asking you to think about it. You know, now you understand. Now we start seeing these things. We start seeing that the words of God, they are spirit and they are life. It is of the Holy Spirit and it is life. It is going to give us eternal life. How are we going to know where it is God is leading us through the Spirit if we don't really know what's in here? That's why we study. That's why we pray. That's why we get to really know this book. This is why you memorize, commit to memory. We put it within us. We're told in the Old Testament that we are to have the words of life ready on our lips. Oh, hang on just a minute. Let me go over my Bible and I'll read it to you. Well, that's good, because at least you can find it. But where do they need to be? They need to be in here so they can be here and we can speak those words. And I don't know about you, and I've tried as a kid putting the books under my bed, under my pillow and things at night, and you know what? It just didn't work. I got up and realized, you know what? I got to study to know this. It's the same thing with the Bible. It's the same thing with the Bible. Again, I don't know about you. Maybe it's just me, but maybe it's all of us. But we find ourselves sometimes being bounced about and confused. And then we need to come to the place that we realize this is not being led by the Spirit of God. And the Bible is very plain in that, because of, I'm not going to go there, but in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 33, it tells us that God is not the author of confusion. So if there's confusion going on, you need to understand right off, oh, I'm not now being led by the Spirit of God. I'm being led by a spirit of confusion, which is not of God. So we need to clear up the confusion. Go back to God in prayer, study, asking somebody that you know would probably be able to give you the answers to help you out. But look for the answers. Because when we're going through confusion, it's not of God. Also, again, maybe this is just for me, but when we find ourselves agitated and short-tempered, we need to realize this also is where? Not of God. Neither is being irritable, grumpy, sulky, or negative. In fact, it's almost a direct opposite of all of that is true, because the scriptures are very plain and tells us that God's Holy Spirit leads us away from all of these bad approaches. And the Word of God actually shows us that our lives are to be going in the direction of thankfulness. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything. I've looked this word up, and you know what this phrase means, in everything? It means in everything. It's not talking about just the good stuff. You know, how many of you like to give thanks in good stuff? Yeah, all of us. How about in the things that we look and consider and say, you know, this is not so good? Do we give thanks? Why? Because that's where God will lead us. Because He wants us to be led to the place that we're giving God thanks in everything. Because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I didn't make it up. The Holy Spirit leads us to the mind of God. Ephesians tells us, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. How did Jesus Christ, walking around on the face of the earth, have this mind of God? You go, yeah, but that was because He was God with flesh stretched over. No, He wasn't. He was flesh with flesh stretched over, being led by the Spirit of God. The same Spirit of God that we are led by. Let this mind that was in Jesus Christ lead you. And the Holy Spirit leads us to that mind. By being led by the Spirit of God, it will certainly involve a lot of different aspects. Can't go into all of them here, but one of them we see over in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, where it's talking about the armor of God. 6 verse 17, Ephesians 6, 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So we see that it would certainly be leading us and involving the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So the Word of God is definitely going to be involved in the leading of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We need to come to the realization that we need to be led to the Word of God dwelling in us. And yeah, I do mean living the Word of God dwelling within us. I didn't confuse what I was saying. Yes, we're led by the Spirit of God in us, but we're also to be getting to the place where we are led by the Word of God in us, because it is to be so internalized, and it is to dwell in us, not casually, not or occasionally we open the book and look at it, but we know it. We really know it. Go to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. Colossians 3 and verse 16. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. What are we to be singing in our hearts to the Lord? The words of God, the Bible. And if we happen to have had someone who had a talent that they could put the Word of God to music and we can sing those songs, it's the Word of God being set to music in our hearts. That's fine. That's good. Also, we need to understand as being led by the Spirit of God, we will come to discern godly wisdom rather than wisdom of the world. Because, as already said, it teaches us, it leads us to, but it also teaches us the mind of God. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 13. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 13. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but rather that the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. I think another very important point for us to realize and to see about God leading us through His Holy Spirit, and that is that God desires. You say, God desires? God wants things? Yes. God desires with great passion and great intensity to give us the Holy Spirit and to draw us closer and closer to Himself. He wants that. He greatly desires to put within us His Holy Spirit. And He greatly desires with passion that we will be drawn closer and closer to Him. What an awesome thing to think about. Our Father wants us close to Him. Now some of you may look at this and hear this and you go, what a novel idea. Because maybe you didn't have a father that wanted that. Now I understand, I was blessed. I get it. I have to admit, I was blessed. My father, my dad, physical father, he wanted that. And so I can see God in a lot of ways. And I understand that I was blessed in that kind of home. I understand that. And I understand that some of you were not. But that's what God wants. He desires that. He wants that. He greatly desires it. God wants to give us His Holy Spirit. Luke chapter 11 and verse 13. You who are parents can certainly see this verse in your own life, and you should be able to take this verse and go, yeah, I get it. I see what God does. If you then being evil, it's a comparative thing. He's talking about what us who are parents, if you being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how many of you are parents who want to give good gifts to your children? The answer is none of us. We'll read the rest of the verse. How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? This is not a casual thing. He greatly desires for us to have to the place that once He starts calling us and drawing us and leading us, what does He tell us? Ask Me. That's what He says. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18, 5:18, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And when we are filled with God's Spirit, we are far more likely to be following His lead. Would you agree with that? Of course you would agree with that. He also wants us to live and to walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5 verse 25, if you live in the Spirit, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And so I think we ask the question, why? And the answer is because it is by the Spirit that we receive ongoing strength from God toward the process of salvation. If we're living someplace else and we're not walking in the Spirit, we're going to be walking somewhere. That's what's also implied. Where are we going to wind up if we're not walking in the Spirit? We're going to be walking somewhere else. We're going to be walking someplace else, and it may not be where you want to end up. It is by the Spirit that we receive ongoing strength, therefore, to go toward the process of salvation. Ephesians 3 and verse 16 says, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inward man. He wants it to be there. He wants to strengthen us, that the Holy Spirit is within us and being strengthened. And it is also by the Spirit that we are built up. Chapter 2 and verse 22. This is Ephesians 2:22, in whom you also are built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. He's building us up. Many people came together to build this up. And it's nice, but it's a building. But we, you and I together, and all of those other people are keeping the day today who are drawn by the Holy Spirit, or led by the Holy Spirit of God, wherever they may be assembled together, we are being built up together into a building that, as it says, a habitation of God. I think it also would be a good point to point out that God uses His Spirit to convict mankind or humanity of his sins. He also uses the same thing to convict the sons of our sins. Let's go to John chapter 16 and verse 7. John 16 and verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. This, of course, is Jesus Christ talking to the disciples. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send the Comforter unto you. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sins. He's going to show the world the difference of sin and righteousness. This is, in essence, what it is saying. The difference of sin and righteousness and judgment of sin because they don't believe on me. This is what he's saying. Verse 10, verse 11. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. We read this earlier. But you read it in the context and we see clearly of what it is that he's showing us that he is going to send his Holy Spirit. Because whatever he teaches, he shall speak and he will show you things to come. It's in the context of convicting humanity and us of our sins. How do you know, how can we come to the place that we would know that we've done something that is sin? The Spirit of God. The Spirit of God. Being led by the Spirit will involve an awareness of the way God wants us to live versus the way of sin. I think that is pretty straightforward. It prompts us to be proactive toward God. I think I can make this statement that I think that all of us would certainly agree that we need more and more of the Spirit of God. We never have too much. And if you don't think that statement would be true, just simply consider Matthew chapter 25. The 10 virgins. 5 were foolish because why? They let their oil run out. The oil is symbolic of what? The Holy Spirit. And we receive, can receive, more and more of the Holy Spirit by obeying God and by asking for it. Like I already said, I'll say it again here. God really, really, really wants to give us the Spirit and to lead us by it. And it is also absolutely necessary for our salvation. Being led by the Spirit of God is also going to do something else. As a result of that, we're going to take care of us. Oh, now you're going to turn and going to make this selfish. No, this is not being selfish. We're going to take care of our body. And the reason is because being led by the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit of God, will involve taking care of the temple of God. And we are the temple of God. Our body is the temple of God. To put it real succinctly, our bodies belong to God and the Holy Spirit resides there. Well, what if you were going to go out and you were going to build something in your backyard for God to come into? Would you take care of it? Yeah. The Holy Spirit is the essence of God dwelling within us. And our bodies are called the temple of the Holy Spirit. Do you think we need to take care of it? But I think you get the point. We need to be taking care of ourselves. And there's all kinds of things. There's some good things that we can be doing and avoiding some other bad things that we simply do because we're human. We like certain things that we probably shouldn't be doing. I know that we have seen a lot. I understand that. I come to the place here in the sermon where I feel that I need to ask all of us a question. And that question is, what is the goal, what is the purpose of this leading that we've been looking into? What is the purpose? The purpose is, it is for us to become sons of God. Please understand this also, brethren, that how well we follow this leading tells God how interested and how invested we are in becoming His glorified sons. He's going to know. He's going to know. So let's understand some things. When we go our own way, we are not being led by God. And when we are passive about God, and when we are passive about God's will, we're not being led by God. We also need to understand that God's Holy Spirit leads us by showing us the path. Yet, what we also need to understand is we are the ones that have to move our feet. He shows us the path. This leading of the Holy Spirit is not necessarily like you lead a child around. It's not that kind of leading. It will show us. It's a difference. You take a child and you lead this child where you want it to go because they don't know where to go, and we teach them the way. This leading is they show the path. They've already demonstrated the path. They've already had others to go down the path, and we need to walk down the path, but we have to move our feet down the path. And when we are led by the Spirit of God, we will always approach our experiences in life with hope and never with pessimism. So you go, yeah, but sometimes I don't do that. And yeah, and I go, yeah, and sometimes we're not being led by the Spirit. That's pretty blunt, but that's still the point. Philippians 2, verse 12. Philippians 2, verse 12. We're going to read 12 and 13. Whereby, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Oh, I got to be doing something. Yeah. For it is God which works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Yeah, it's God in us. It's the Holy Spirit within us that's doing it. But we still got to start the steps, and we still got to go. And we can't approach life in a negative way or in a pessimistic way, but we need to approach it in all of our experiences with hope. The Spirit of God will always lead us toward and into the will of God. Now, I also understand that the way may not always be what we expect, or it may not always feel so comfortable, but knowing that God knows what He is doing is an important part of being led by the Spirit of God. I also understand that sometimes we may simply want a cloud to appear and guide us. Ask God to guide you. Slow down. The fruit of the Spirit is patience. And we need to understand that in something, God requires us to be patient because much of what God does involves the passing of time while He is working out the circumstances. So the first thing I think that we need to understand is simply slow down. That's a point of being led by the Spirit of God. You know, there's a saying, fools rush in where angels fear to tread. You know what? That's probably pretty true. You know, and I think us as being led by the Spirit of God don't want to go someplace unless God wants to show us, then we go. You know, if you think about it in that way. Another point is pray often and pray carefully. Ask for a submissive will and a submissive heart. The next one, ask for direction as you read the Bible in a prayerful frame of mind. The next point is expect God to answer. I think most of the time, I think a lot of the time, we study the Bible not expecting God to give us the answer. Now, let's approach this like this. Asking God, you pray and you study and you expect God to give you the answers. Are you asking, you pray, and you don't expect God to give you the answer? Which one of these is being led by the Spirit? Expecting God to give you the answers. The next one, remove every distraction you can when you are expecting to learn where God is leading you. Remove the obstacles. You go, but yeah, but what are they? I don't know. Different obstacles at different times and in different people's lives. Well, I really can't study when I get home from work. I'm too tired. Remove the obstacle. Study early in the morning. Well, I'm not really an early morning riser. Then go to bed earlier. Turn off the TV earlier. Go to bed earlier. I mean, whatever it is, we can do that. But remove every distraction that we can when we're expecting God to lead us. The next one is, don't be anxious. The next one is, wait for God. Important point to understand, because God has His own timetable for things. The next one is, walk in every bit of the light that you already know that you have. And then understand. It's not just sometimes, or it's not just some light, or it's not just any old light. It's the light of God. Wait for God's revelation. This is an important point, and I can give you a real succinct story to understand this. Abraham followed God's lead. He said, Abraham, I want you to get up. I want you to go. What did he do? He waited 27 years before he left, right? No, he left the next day. Where did he end up? What we need to understand in the lesson that we get from Abraham is Abraham started walking before he knew exactly where he was going to end up or where he was going to go. But I got to know where, you know, no, you don't. We think we do, but when we come to that conclusion that we're not being led by the Spirit of God. Another point, it takes courage to follow God's lead. It takes faith, which is a gift of God. And so we ask God for the gifts of faith to follow His lead. And we never waver. We also need to understand and to remember that being led by the Spirit of God may not always be comfortable, but it is always the right thing to do. Romans 8 and verse 14. We kind of made full circle. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Today is the Feast of Pentecost, a picture of the sons of God being led by the Spirit of God. Let's allow God to lead us by His Spirit. The Aaronic Blessing. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and to his sons, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put My name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. We are so blessed to being led by the Spirit of God.
For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.